Hey, it's Finn, and if you've been listening to 680 for long, you know that I'm a big fan of Audi Atlanta. That's where I got my Audi Q8 e-tron, which I absolutely love. And it's the only dealership I would recommend to my friends and my family. And here's why. For one, Audi Atlanta has a great selection of luxury vehicles. They helped me find the exact SUV I was looking for, and the purchase was super easy. A fully transparent experience catered to me. The same experience they provide all their customers. And here's one more reason that makes Audi Atlanta so special. During the month of April, Audi Atlanta will make a donation to Enduring Hearts for every vehicle sold. Thanks to the efforts of Enduring Hearts, children with heart transplants are living longer and healthier lives. Get the Audi you've always wanted while supporting a great cause. To learn more about Enduring Hearts and to view our current specials, visit AudiAtlanta.com to start or complete your entire purchase online. Or shop Audi Atlanta in person, like I did, on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Together, we have the power to make positive changes that could last a lifetime.
Live on the Fan is Chuck and Chernoff. 680, 93.7 FM. The 680 The Fan mobile app. Don't forget you can join us at 680thefan.com. I feel like nobody ever mentions that. It's not enough. That's Chuck Oliver.
Dan, how are you today?
No Matt Chernoff this afternoon. He's on assignment in the Yukon. That's Dylan Short. I'm Chris Mooney. Thanks for being with us. As we wrap up your work week in Atlanta. 3 o'clock hour of Chuck and Chertoff, brought to you by This Stuff Matters. Like and subscribe to This Stuff Matters podcast. It's posted on the 680 The Fan website under the podcast header or at thisstuffmatters.net. Gentlemen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You awake over there?
Oh, I'm wide awake.
Chuck, you all right? You in a better mood than you were earlier?
Oh, I've been in a great mood all day, except for like the first 6 hours I was here, and everything got thrown off by the photo shoot, and my lunch got pushed back, but now it's 3 o'clock, and everything's happy, happy.
No red shirt?
No, I didn't have a red shirt today, but we made it through with the blue shirt, and I'm not angry about being left off an all-star team. I don't have a contract negotiation that went public. I mean, all these things that... flummox sports stars. I'm immune from all of them.
No, like Trae Young, of course, if you have not heard. The NBA All-Star Reserves announced Trae Young is not on the squad, at least not for now.
Another way of saying this, Drew Holiday has as many All-Star bursts as Trae Young. Ooh. And that can't be... there's no context to explain something like that away.
At some point, someone will fall off the roster. Trae, you have to imagine, would be the first guy in, maybe the second guy in. Dylan, but it obviously, look, we know that Trae wants to be liked. We know he wants to be revered. Let's just be honest.
Does he want to be liked?
Yes, he does.
See, I feel like he's kind of...
That's why he acts too hard.
By who? By, like, NBA OGs?
That's a fair question.
Or by fans? Because I don't think he cares about the fans at all.
I don't think at all.
And media? Like, I'm just regular
media? Doesn't care about media at all.
I don't know. Like, NBA media... But maybe.
Maybe he cares about a certain type of reputation.
You know the phrase, doth do protest too much? I think that's the thing. I think he spends so much time talking about how he doesn't care that he actually does care.
Oh, sure. Well, everybody does. Listen, it's not that hard to figure out. Like, just because you're a superstar or you're great at scoring baskets or hitting baseballs or whatever, like, every person in the history of time has always preferred to be liked. Nobody wants to be somebody that the vast majority of people are just crashing on all the time. Like, it's exhausting. So, yeah, you want to be liked, but for him, he could probably do a better job at, you know, not getting coaches fired and, you know, not getting his teammates so angry that they want to leave town.
I think it's, and again, don't know this, but I believe Trey looks around and wonders why he's not in the club, like really, really in the club.
Yeah.
He can score a bunch every night, and he's more than that. You know, I mentioned when he got drafted, Monta Ellis could score a bunch every night.
I loved Monta Ellis.
Jabari Parker could score a bunch every night. Not like this, but, you know, close. Trey needs to be more than just score, and it is, and he's a superstar, I think. But, like, Luka might be the best player in the league.
Yeah,
and the trade didn't matter. Now I got to move on. And was he should have had better coaching? Well, it doesn't matter. It's now 2023, and has he ever played with another great player? Well, he's played with some good players, and so all of this is well and good. But I think Trey looks around and he wonders why he's not thought of in the same realm as the elite shortlist guys. I think
a lot of people wonder that, and it makes me.
I don't wonder why he's not thought of. In the, like, KD, LeBron, whatever.
He's not that.
Luka, he's not.
On the second level, should he be a second-level guy?
Do you think that he's as good or better than Damian Lillard?
Yeah.
You do?
I think he might be, yeah.
I don't at all.
I think he's getting close. And you've got Lillard on the second
level. Yeah, Lillard is kind of like the head of my list for that kind of second tier. The guys that aren't going to, like, they're not the ones who are going to be transcendent, multi-generational type stars, but in this day and age of the guys who are just better.
Well, there are certain guys you start to hear a little bit about in the NBA inner circles, about what their rep may be becoming. Charles Barkley certainly had a thought about it.
I wouldn't say he's thought of very well. His reputation has taken a beating going back to the last coach he got fired. Obviously, the stuff going on with Nate, because let me tell you something, everybody like Nate. Unfortunately, in our business, the coach gets made a scapegoat 100% of the time because the players make too much money. You know, like I say, I don't know the kid, to be honest with you. Talking to the players, I think they're leery. They're like, yo, man, at some point, it ain't the coach's fault. You already got one coach fired. Now you got another coach you're going to get fired. At some point, you got to take some responsibility.
Of course, that was Charles Barkley from TNT with Nick and Chris, and you can hear that. We probably got it up at the podcast park and on the .com as well, Chuck.
Respect Charles Barkley and his NBA knowledge, and boy, does he know about relations and things like that. One thing I'm going to say, I'm going to guess that will probably be, he says at some point you have to take responsibility. With Trey, I think it's far more responsible that he demands and then gets a new team versus a public comeuppance about, hey, you know, Nate's gone now and Lloyd's gone, so now it's on me. That's the one thing about what Charles just said. I mean, he's right that you should at some point finally look in the mirror. He's right about that. You should. I think Trey's response is going to be, well, just get me out of here. It's all y'all. It's all y'all.
I agree. I think that's going to be it, too, because that's how most of the time that's how it goes in the NBA. I mean, how many guys will actually stand up on that podium and be like, all right, you know what? We've gone through enough of these people now to where I have to be the one to step up. Who does that?
And you know what he can't, and I'm not going to say hide behind, what he can't claim or even list as a factor. Like, Kevin Durant's looking around going, I'm bigger than this city. I am bigger than this. And he forced it. You know, LeBron, there were... going to be the Lakers where he's got a post career. That's where his industry is going to be post NBA career. And so kind of me, there's no, so I got, I'm going to leave Cleveland or I'm going to leave my, you know, whatever. It makes sense. I'm going to the Lakers. I'm going to Los Angeles as much as I'm going to the Lakers. Trey, there's none of the regular excuses built into why you have to leave Atlanta. I think it's because along the lines of what Charles said, after one coach is fired, another coach is fired, maybe there'll be a third coach fired at some point. I think, sooner than later, Trey's going to say, no, it's everybody. I need a better organization.
You just can't win in this city. They don't care about doing it right. So send me somewhere that's going to win.
Yeah.
So I just need a change of scenery.
I don't know that, but we'll see.
Well, Domino asks Chuck, and you'll hear both of them here in this next clip, about young players around the league and the chances of them wanting to play with Trey.
When my best player has to have an ability to pick up a phone and ask one and a half, two really good players to come join him, is Trey out of that conversation and being one of those guys who can pick up the phone and say, come on and play with me. This is going to be amazing here.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen. No, I don't think that's going to happen.
That's damning. That's not just telling. That's a damning statement.
It's really not good, especially in kind of the modern NBA. You don't need one star. You need two, bordering on three, or at least one star and then everybody else has to be like on that next level of like right below stardom in order to actually win anything. If you can't team up, because we all know that tampering is not real in the NBA. You tamper all the time. These guys talk to each other and get an,
oh, it's pregame going on
all the time. And that's going back to the Heat. Well, when LeBron formed his first big three, like there was
super friends
essentially. Yeah. But if you aren't able to get any of the players to come and join you, and I don't know how much of that is an indictment on Trey. I don't know how many players in the NBA really do have that power to say, hey, you come team up with me and we'll go win it all. Because just like in every other professional sport, egos for sure come into play there. Because how many players want to be the Robin to somebody else's Batman?
Right.
Like, if you are going to be the Robin, that player better be KD, it better be LeBron, it better be Steph.
Last night, actually, we had talked about this on yesterday's show, that with Tom Brady's announcement, I said, we never ever, sports fans, no matter who it is, we never really appreciate in the moment how great and short-lived and all-time somebody is, because here's the impossible nature of it. When you watch something happen every Sunday for 23 years, no matter how great, it's normal. It's normal. It takes a long time for you to realize. I was like, folks, this is the wake-up call to watch LeBron's next game, which was last night with the Pacers. I'm watching that, and I'm thinking, wait a minute. LeBron is playing with Anthony Davis. How are they 500? And those two players, he's 38 years old, and Anthony Davis is just a Fruit Loop. But they're both, I mean, physically, when they're both healthy and right and playing, those could be two top five players in the NBA. And I'm looking at all we got is, honestly, the bottom line after, what, four seasons is we got a guard who can pour it in. That's kind of what Trey is. He can pour it in and make some unbelievable passes.
At times. When he gets hot and his shots are falling, he'll drop 40 points.
He's more than that, but that's what it's equaled so far, is you got a backcourt guy who can pour it in. That's it.
And a lot of those tendencies we still see, to your point, about him at times just not being able to score. Sometimes we'll have people say, oh, he was so good even though he only had the 17 points. He dished out the 10 assists and he had a few rebounds. But that's not...
that's not what you're there for.
That's not your exactly right. Team.
No,
exactly
you're not there to run block.
Right.
NFL players this past week not at the Pro Bowl to play a football game. This makes me sad because I'm of a certain age where I enjoyed the Pro Bowl. See, I grew up on the Pro Bowl, in the great days of the Pro Bowl in the 80s and early 90s, and these skills competitions, which they played last night. Now, I want to know if you guys had any interest in it.
I don't care about the Pro Bowl game because you're not going to go 100%. You're not going to go fly around and try to take people out unless you're the late Sean Taylor, which is the reason why people play the Pro Bowl the way that they do, or at least the way they did before the game went away. You're not there in an exhibition game to get your knee blown out or get a concussion. Everybody's going a little bit soft. Well, if you're not going to play football 100%, it becomes an ugly game really quickly. It becomes a boring game. It's not like the NBA where, let's see if somebody can score 200. Or it's not like baseball where it's like baseball. They don't do a lot of things right. They do a lot of things very wrong. But their all-star game is the best of the games. Now, I think what the NFL is trying to do is capitalize on what the NBA does with the dunk contest, three-point shootout, all that good stuff, and trying to find things that they can add in, like the precision passing, things that they can do, the kick-tack-toe that they can get to be kind of quirky and draw some eyes on it. But as far as the game itself, if you're not going to play hard in it, and no one's going to, you're just going to have people get hurt, or it's just going to be a bad game.
There was a day, though, Dylan, that you'll not remember, where the Pro Bowl was a real game. Chuck will tell you. I mean, it was a game. Now, of course, that was a different age because not as many guys made the high dollar figures. Some of these guys knew after this week, I'm going back to my insurance job. I could use the $12,000.
I'll put it this way. It was way too short of a window where you could play the Pro Bowl and all the black players could stay at the same hotel before players stopped caring about it. All right. It was like the early 70s before they started like saying, okay, we can plan it in this city. And we know that when it, because there was like a few years in a row where they showed up and they're like, all right, the black players, you're going to stay over here. And they're like, what? We're not playing. So after you resolved that, you had about 10 years where guys showed up and busted their ass. It was the economic window. It was before free agency hit, even though if you don't know, if you're too young to know what Plan B was, like NFL players went for this stupid thing called Plan B, and they were like, yeah, it's free agency. And I was like, I was 14. I was like, that's not free agency. They're like, well, take it. Up till then, there was almost nobody made money, And so if you made the Pro Bowl and you got a $5,000 bonus and then you got a $14,000 winner share, it was like Super Bowl. It wasn't Super Bowl II. It was like Super Bowl 15. There was a guy for the Raiders who said, I just got $32,000 for playing a football game. He won the Super Bowl. That was
right.
So it meant something. And so like literally that was it. You took away the monetary incentive, which I get, by the way. It makes sense. Why would you go out there and bust ass in the Pro Bowl if you make, I don't know, $3 million a game?
No need. And remember, you'll remember the story of Ronnie Lott in the 80s. He takes somebody's head, Mark Jackson maybe, a Mark Duper perhaps. I think it was Mark, one of the Marks. He nearly takes the guy's head off. And when asked about it afterwards, he said, am I going to get suspended? And the reporter said, no, they're not going to suspend you. And he said, right, I just made $12,000.
Winner share.
That's why.
Winner share $12,000, loser share like $8,000. So when the money took it out, and you're right, football is when it's not a competitive full speed thing, it's not a competitive thing. It's not fun to watch.
It's time to wing it. Presented by WNB Factory. Serving up Atlanta's best wings and burgers with over 60 locations. Find yours at WNBFactory.com.
Yeah, and it's brought to you by the Harris Cherokee Casino Feed. So our winging it idea. Chuck, was this your idea? Paco Rabanne died today?
Oh, yeah. Paco Rabanne. I hadn't thought about him in probably a couple of decades, but he's a designer. He's 82, I saw today, and Paco Rabanne died. And the reason I remembered him is because when I was in high school, I think I was a freshman, actually, first cologne I ever had was like a little, like, 0.4-ounce tester that I got for free, included with the wallet I bought at, like, Macy's Men's Store.
That's how you did it when you didn't have the money.
So you bought a wallet and you got a little tester. It's Paco Rabanne, so your first cologne.
That is our winging it idea of the day. What was your first cologne? That's what we used to do, the mall rat kids.
Yeah.
That was what we were. We'd walk through Sears and Macy's and any of those other stores.
And they would just hand us out the... So you got to have a wallet. And so your wallet, you got to have a little cologne. So you get it together, boom, free cologne.
I'm from the 90s. So it was Woods, you know, the Abercrombie and Fitch, the Tommy Hill figure.
Nice.
The Boss. Which, by the way, there's a antique flea market over on 78 where you can find all of that stuff. All of it. Now, the names are different. You know, instead of Boss, it's CEO.
Oh, okay. I get the knockoff sort of. I get those. I used to get offered those at least on the MARTA deck at Kensington.
Yeah, right.
Designer fragrances, I believe they were pitched as.
Instead of Woods, it's Timber. Instead of Tommy, it's Bobby.
Yeah.
But they all smell the same. That cost me about $6. I got like 8 boxes of it. How about you, Dylan?
My first cologne was a half-filled bottle of Stetson that I was probably in 6th grade. My dad had got another one, and he thought it was funny that they caught me using cologne to go to school one day. And he was like, here, you can keep that one. So, yeah.
Brownish bottle, tan writing, a little spray top on it. I wore Stetson until they stopped making it.
That was my dad's favorite, and that was...
Where's your dad at?
Don't look at me. I didn't say that live. This is not Chernoff in here,
so I'm not gonna talk about my father. He's alive. How about that? I say that.
Well, he must be nice.
Just got angry at me.
Trying to ruin things for me over here.
Hey, at least you know your dad.
That's the Trump card. That is the Trump card.
If I didn't know him, I never would have gotten my first bottle of cologne, so that's nice. We were talking about this earlier, and BJ's about my age, too. So we were right around the whole Axe body spray movement. You were talking about the off brands that you used to be able to get at, like, Sears and Macy's. For us, it was, like, Bod, where you can still get it in, like, CVS and Walgreens. It's, like, $5, $10. It's just a plastic bottle. Yeah, Do people even still really go for cologne much anymore? Like, I don't feel like I see many, like...
Like proper cologne? Yeah, absolutely.
Like, that doesn't come for free with a wallet? Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I don't know if I'm just out of the loop on this.
No, but you got some smell good when you're going out.
I have to... My 4-year-old wants to be sprayed every once in a while before he goes to preschool. Because he sees me doing it. So he just wants the...
Yeah, he wants to be G'd up.
Give him a couple of... Right there.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next, Chuck really wants Derek Carr.
I think I want to sleep with him.
But that's way less important than who else does.
I want his kid.
Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan, 680, 93.7 FM. Chuck, you all right? You in a better mood than you were earlier?
Oh, I've been in a great mood all day, except for like the first 6 hours I was here. And everything got thrown off by the photo shoot, and my lunch got pushed back. And I feel pressured and smothered, and I just want my freedom.
We'll be right back.
It's the intervention on the fan.
I'm okay.
All right, we're done. That was fun. I'm glad we did that. 680, 93.7 FM. Chuck and Chernoff on a Friday afternoon in the ATL. Thanks for joining us. No Matt Chernoff this afternoon. He's on assignment in Daytona. He'll be back, though. Don't worry. Monday he'll be back.
Is this your attempt at the baseball announcer? Oh, a cop from a fan from Gwinnett County. Like, is this what we're doing here today?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, well, okay.
Couldn't tell you. That's Dylan Short, and I'm Chris Mooneyham. This is Chuck Oliver.
Here on a Friday.
Coming up at 3:27. That's specific. Chuck will take up the clause of making life easier for a bunch of dudes with million-dollar salaries who we're all jealous of.
Well, you got less than 90 seconds, so hurry up and do whatever you want to do first.
Wait, what?
Hmm?
At 3:27, you've got less than 2 minutes now.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know what time it was. I don't watch the clock, guys. Chuck, Derek Carr is attractive to you, and the potential of him joining the Atlanta Falcons as QB1?
Oh, I believe so. Independent of anything else to do with the Falcons, this is the shortest, quickest, and safest way to an upgrade, like a pretty substantial upgrade. So, yeah, I want Derek Carr, but that's way less important than Coach Arthur wanting Derek Carr. And just my opinion, I think Coach Arthur is going to view this new option also as the closest to, there's a category here, good enough quarterback to maybe win this season and save my job. Okay, give me all the other possibilities of quarterbacks that the Falcons can actually acquire this year that would be better than Derek Carr when you want a quarterback who's good enough to maybe win this season and save my job, because I don't know if Coach Arthur has to, quote, save his job this year. I know if he wins 3 games, he's not going to be back. If he wins 6 or 7, I don't know what happens. If they win 9 or 10... And I don't know that they can. They probably shouldn't have won as many as they did last year. But if you add a veteran quarterback who it actually can function and you can call pass plays on 3rd and 6, for instance, and the 8th overall pick, and don't forget about the pick in the 2nd round. That's a really good pick, too. And all the free agent money, this could get a version of fixed pretty quickly. Now, there's a ceiling to it, because with Derek Carr, he's never going to be a superstar. You're never going to wind up drafting the guy who turns into Patrick Mahomes. But the fact that you want to get better right now and you are team money bags this free agent period, I think it not only makes sense, like financially, but Coach Arthur's looking around going, I want to get better right now, and that's not spending the 8th overall pick on a quarterback and finding out in 2025 if he can play. Derek Carr's available. It's going to cost you. This is like Kirk Cousins sort of stuff. He's way better than Desmond Ridder, way better than Marcus Mariota, and probably better for 23. He's better than anybody else you can get, I think.
Unless you want to pay that big capital to go and get Lamar or Kyler Murray or somebody like that, in which case you're not going to have the draft capital to upgrade the rest of your team to put that around them.
That's another thing. Derek Carr, I think the Raiders, they're going to release him and they're going to let the contract has to kind of lapse and expire. So when you can acquire Derek Carr, it's, quote, just for the money. It isn't for a draft pick. It isn't for any players. It's not for whatever, you know, you had to compensate Houston for Deshaun Watson. Literally, it's just the money. And all of a sudden, to me, and Coach Arthur, I believe, that's a pretty damn good proposition. It doesn't screw up our picks or our free agent money, not really. And we don't have to trade any of our good players off the roster. Oh, okay, let's talk about this. He's not a great quarterback. He's probably a good enough quarterback.
Would you rather have Derek Carr or Jimmy Garoppolo, who's also probably going to be very
I'd rather have Derek Carr,
available?
I think.
So my only thing
I'd probably rather have Carr.
I don't know that but he's I going to be comparison. Mobile. I don't know if he's going to be mobile enough to do what Arthur Smith is going to want to do. Because no matter what quarterback is he's on the roster, tougher. Arthur Smith's offense is going to be, hey, I'm running this ball about as much as humanly possible to still be considered an NFL offense. It's like you saw what Arthur Smith wants, even with Ridder in there, because Ridder is mobile enough to get out and run. He's also much better throwing the football than Marcus Mariota. And it was still, what, 65% run, 75% run? And maybe that is just because you didn't trust Ridder to make reads and drop back 25 times to throw the football. But also, that's what Arthur Smith was in Tennessee. Sure, he had Derrick Henry. But Tyler Allgeier is a big physical back, too. And I think that's what Arthur Smith wants to run. I think you can do that with Derek Carr, but I kind of think part of the reason why the Falcons were able to be as efficient as they were on offense, which wasn't very efficient at times, but surprisingly good at others, I think mobility is such a key thing for any quarterback in the NFL now. I think I don't know that there's that much difference between Derek Carr and Jimmy Garoppolo going forward. I don't disagree that it's better to just spend money if you don't have to spend picks too, because those picks are more important to me than the money. Like I could care less about the money you'd have to spend to get Lamar here for 7-8 years. It's the picks.
I would rather have more of my money.
Sure.
But you're right. The picks, that is what sets you up to trade for a receiver that you give a 4-year, $100 million contract to, is because you've solved enough of the other positions, particularly quarterback. But with Derek Carr, it's just the money. And you look around and suddenly, hey, what's the one thing you got? You got money. Oh, what's the other thing you got? Oh, you got some picks, like some good ones. You got 9 of them. What else you got? Well, you got some snaps available. You got an offensive-minded head coach. You look around, suddenly Derek Carr don't look so bad for a lot of reasons. Now, again, this is if you are aiming to win 9 or maybe 10 games and not get to the Super Bowl and not be a conference champion and not really be a threat deep into January, but to be better than you've been and to not have a third straight losing season.
You want to be the Vikings.
Like a lot of this seems, yeah, has got to seem really good to Coach Arthur.
I think they've decided. It's Ritter, at least for the next year. Moving forward, use the money, use the picks, thicken out the roster, because that's been the problem. I think that's been part of the problem here.
Tannehill will be the backup. There's going to be a ton of familiarity between Arthur Smith and there.
If they go for Ritter, that means that either there was an understanding you don't necessarily have to win because you're starting this rookie, essentially, or Coach Arthur is planning on spinning it that way, because you're not going to win this year, I don't believe, with Ritter.
I think they can. And I'm not disagreeing with you, but I think they can. Because of the system installed the way it is, and because they're going to take this money, that all this money they've got, and hopefully be able to lure some free agents and, of course, draft and develop very well.
That's the gamble, because if you decide that you're going to roll with Ritter, you're really just saying, I want to have a cheap quarterback so I can use that money to build out literally every other position around it. You're basically saying, I want to copy the 49ers and I want to copy the Eagles.
That's what we talked about with Matt here a couple of weeks ago.
It probably would have been better to copy the 49ers if you had kept the architect of the current 49ers and all of those people that were already on your coaching staff, but you can't go back and change that. It's I see where you're coming from, because as a head coach, your number one goal is don't get fired. Don't get fired.
Yeah.
So I'm with you. I don't think Desmond Ridder is like a superstar guy. I don't think he's ever going to be a top 10 quarterback in the league. I do think he can do some things well enough to win if he's got the pieces around him. I'd still rather have Derek Carr next year and probably the year after that too, for sure.
Okay, I said you're not going to win in 2023 with Desmond Ridder. You're not going to win enough to keep your job. However, that's operating with the premise that Coach Arthur has to, quote, win bigger this year to keep his job. I don't know what conversations he and Scary Terry and owner Arthur, I don't know any of those conversations. I don't know what's required. I don't know if we want to see improvement. Okay, I want to see wins.
Like, how do you figure out what improvement
is? Maybe improvement is enough. I don't know any of that, but I'm telling you, if there is a hard number, you got to win more games and like finish above 500, whatever it is. I don't think you do that with Desmond Ridder. And not because necessarily just an indictment of him, because there is so much that is so far substandard on this team, and a lot of what you're doing to fix it is not just letting a guy get a little older and better. It's bringing in somebody who's brand new. And so predicting a lot of big time success with Desmond Ridder is actually pretty difficult to do this year.
Hey, it's Finn, and if you've been listening to 680 for long, you know that I'm a big fan of Audi Atlanta. That's where I got my Audi Q8 e-tron, which I absolutely love. And it's the only dealership I would recommend to my friends and my family. And here's why. For one, Audi Atlanta has a great selection of luxury vehicles. They helped me find the exact SUV I was looking for, and the purchase was super easy. A fully transparent experience catered to me. The same experience they provide all their customers. And here's one more reason that makes Audi Atlanta so special. During the month of April, Audi Atlanta will make a donation to Enduring Hearts for every vehicle sold. Thanks to the efforts of Enduring Hearts, children with heart transplants are living longer and healthier lives. Get the Audi you've always wanted while supporting a great cause. To learn more about Enduring Hearts and to view our current specials, visit AudiAtlanta.com to start or complete your entire purchase online. Or shop Audi Atlanta in person, like I did, on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Together, we have the power to make positive changes that could last a lifetime.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Coming up in a little, in just a little bit, the traditional signing day nationally behind us. Like Shania Twain, the SEC is still the one.
Go a long way.
Old school Shania, though.
She may have some extra teeth. No, she may have like 36.
Not like the new sophisticated, you know, or the middle ground, like the old Shania. And that red dress and that original video. You guys know what I'm talking about.
All right, I think I showed a little internet savvy. Earlier this week, I saw on the sidebar on Twitter, which I always view as, click here, we think you're stupid. It said, and I was like, this is so clever. Shania Twain talks about posing nude for her new album. And I was like, that reads as, click here to see naked pictures of Shania Twain. I was like, I bet that's not really what's going to happen if I click here, so I didn't. Did anybody else see this story about Shania Twain speaks out about posing nude?
No, but I just broke my laptop typing it in.
But you qualified it with for album cover.
Right. But, okay.
Then you're not seeing anything.
But digital download, you can put whatever you want on an album cover in the digital download era. So that was a thing earlier this week, but I did not click on it because I said, no, I'm not going to get caught by this one.
Probably smart move.
I just set an alarm on my phone.
All right.
After I get out of here, I'm going to check it out. You wanted to tell us.
She's not really nude.
For science.
Yeah.
Nude-ish?
She's wearing like a sheer like button-up.
Oh. All right.
And she's on a horse.
That'll be good enough.
Oh.
Whoa, whoa.
Is that the ultimate 90s album cover, right? Just riding a horse, hair in the wind.
Oh, that's a good-looking horse.
That's all I really need anyway. Chuck, you were going to tell us about some life-changing money, but also a life-altering schedule.
Yeah, there's a truth that no college football head coach can bring up because he'll get attacked, and I understand why. But, yeah, it's the alternate title. I'm going to take up for a bunch of millionaires who already have really cool jobs. Here is the truth. You can be well-paid and overworked. All right, new sentence. When you're talking about college football head coaches, even in the worst case, quote, worst case scenario in the SEC, Clark Lee, who they're private, what are you paying? We don't have to tell you, pound sand. About $3 million. About $30,000 a month. All right? $300,000 a month.
That seems pretty nice to me.
About what Clark Lee is bringing in. So, like, after taxes every 15 days, Clark Lee is making about, I don't know, 85, 90 Gs every 15 days. And he's the, quote, worst paid in the SEC. So I understand the backdrop about what I'm saying. When you're talking about anybody can be well paid but still overworked, college head coaches, it's generational, change your family tree sort of money. I absolutely get it. Kirby Smart? I don't know what kind of accountant or tax attorney he has. There's a very real chance he could take home $650,000 every month. Easy $650,000 every month. So what are you taking up for him? I'm saying that no matter what the first part of the equation is, the compensation, you can be overworked to the degree that it derails every other facet of your non-work life, whether it's your wife, whether it's your kids, whether it's church, whether it's whatever you care about, stamp collecting, doesn't matter what it is. And we're talking about a guy making $6 million or $7 million a year, which is not outlandish in college football now. There are actors and rock stars and all kinds of people who make $40, $50, $60, $100 million a year. I told a story earlier. We've talked about this somebody's birthday, but Tico Torres was the drummer Bon Jovi. And he's like, we were on the road for 2 years, came back, recorded another album, immediately went on the road for two more years. Got home to my mansion. He says, after about a week, I realized I hadn't slept in a week. I was like, oh, I know what it is. Called a GC, came over to the general contractor, came to the house. He says, I need my room to look like a Four Seasons suite. He He's like, that's how effed up my life had begun. I could not sleep unless I was in a four-season suite. So even Tico Torres making like $25 million a year, he was like, wasn't worth it. I didn't sleep. I had lost the ability to sleep. I don't know that that's where football coaches are, but the roster whack-a-mole brought about by portal activity, and it's not trying to get the receiver from Purdue and the linebacker from Arizona State. It's trying to re-recruit every player already in the program. I'm not, you know, putting my hands up and saying, oh, poor Kirby Smart, poor Josh Heupel. I'm saying, regardless of what they get paid, this, coaching college football has become 25 hours a day, 8 days a week, and it ain't fun. There is nothing at all fun. And when college football, the NCAA decided, you know what? We're going to put playoff prep, high school recruiting, and the portal window all in the same two-week period? All right, go handle all of it. Again, they're all well-paid, even the worst of them. Their lives, their schedules, everything that's not work is pushed to the side, and that sucks no matter what the money is.
It almost leads me to believe that you're not going to see these long-tenured coaches anymore just because the burnout's going to be incredible. But I also think it's one of those areas where Kirby gets a little bit of an advantage, not because that stuff doesn't affect Kirby, but also just the sheer size of Kirby's assistants and everybody else in the room, the analysts, the quality assistants, the GAs, all of it. I'm starting to think that you're going to get an analyst or a coach or whatever whose entire job is recruiting your own players throughout the years. You're going to get one of these top-notch recruiters and their job.
Relationship massager?
Yes. To keep these guys on your campus.
There's already a move towards that.
Tony's math tutor. He's got a problem with the math tutor. We could just get Tony a new math tutor. And so you always go to Dylan when you got an issue, and then Dylan is the fixer.
The guy that was the bag man before. Now it's just make sure these guys stay on campus so I don't have to do this. I can do this and maybe get to eat lunch today. Yeah. You're absolutely right. Like, they make more money than any college coach has ever made ever before. Some of them are getting paid more than NFL head coaches. They also get way more work than I think anybody ever imagined a college coach would have on his plate.
Oh, and like Kirby Smart right now, who's a coordinator? I'll get to it. Cause I think Todd Monk is leaving.
I do too.
And then he'll say, but he will probably, he's got a list and he may know, and he's got an angle. He ain't going to announce anybody. I don't think this is not where you announce somebody 12 hours later, unless it's Hoyt baller move. If Todd Monken leaves like 30 minutes later, you announce Buster Faulkner. You just look down the street at Georgia Tech and Brent Key, and it's like, yeah, we just took
him right back.
Yeah, we just took you.
Well, in that part of the conversation, there is an inherent advantage for the SEC as well because of facilities and everything that goes into it, which leads into my our next story. I've got to give you these numbers. With National Signing Day that just passed, the dominance of the SEC, another measurable. Let's take 24/7 Sports and their composite rankings, for instance. 39 kids earned 5-star ratings. 39. You break down the Power 5 conferences, and how many 5-star kids just went into the conferences, guys? Forget about the teams and who had the most, although I have these numbers. Would you believe the Big Ten had only one 5-star commit among all of their teams?
Yeah, and
one.
There's a reason I know this, and it was an oddity that somebody was looking at from the other side.
Yeah.
Hey, can you believe that Ohio State's highest-rated recruit was only 35th nationally? And then the next line was, that's the highest-ranked kid to sign with the Big Ten. They didn't have anybody in the top 34. Not one kid signed with the Big Ten in the top 34 nationally.
And make no mistake, Dylan, that is a horrible, horrible sign for the Big Ten moving forward. It truly is.
Is it a fluke year? Is it just?
I don't think it is a fluke year. I absolutely don't. And I'm going to give you some numbers to, well, I have some numbers, but we're not going to be able to get to it because we'll run out of time.
Ah, content over clock.
Let me give you some more. How many did the ACC have, you think?
I'm going to guess three.
39. That's a great guess. It was 4, Chuck. Okay, 4 for the ACC. They were 5th. Miami 2, Florida State 1.
If Jaden Rashada had gone to Miami, it would have been 5.
Clemson 1, all right? We talked about Clemson a couple of weeks ago.
Clemson
here.
Had one 5-star.
One 5-star. Now, remember, there's 39 of them across the country. So, remember, they cleaned up on 4-stars as well. I think they had 20.
So the SEC had about 25?
Right. So, How about the Pac-12, though? The Pac-12 was third on this list. They had five.
Okay. Not bad for them at all.
Now, you know three of the teams.
You know, USC, UCLA, Oregon.
That's right. UCLA and Oregon both had one. USC had two. Now, Colorado, of course, got the late commitment from McLean. He was a five-star, and so they joined the parade. The Big Ten, seven. I'm wondering how many people out there are doing the math, because they know that SEC is number one, and have you figured out how many that means the SEC has? So the Big 12 had seven. Interesting, though, the only two Big 12 teams that had five stars, Texas and Oklahoma, who, of course...
I don't think that's very interesting. What five-star kid's going to go to TCU when he can go to Texas?
No, because they want to get the hell out of there as quick as they can, and they're basically SEC schools now. That's why I reference it. That's why part of this is a bad sign trickling all the way down to the Big 12 as the SEC gets even stronger. By the way, if you're wondering, it was four for Texas, three for Oklahoma, which means that the SEC of the 39 five-star kids, according to 24/7 Sports, the SEC landed 22. Absolute sheer dominance. And if you're wondering about the numbers, Alabama had nine, Georgia had six, LSU and Texas A&M with two apiece.
It matters because winning national championships is a big part of what matters. Playoffs and revenue and money matters, but it matters because you do that with the best players. That's just the bottom line, and the SEC has the best players. The you know, you don't win a national championship unless you wind up on Bud's blue chip ratio. You just don't. You don't win a national championship unless your stadium has more than 79,000 seats. Not because of, but I'm just saying, go back and look at the last time somebody won with a stadium at Georgia Tech. So there are signs, there are indicators about who wins national championships, and all of them are checked by the SEC. So best players, biggest stadiums, highest paid coaches, best, most TV contracts nationally.
Best weather.
I mean, it's what it is. Where's the NFL go? Which conference has the most schools where all 32 teams are represented at a pro day? Like half the SEC, all 32 teams show up, and it's not a scout, it's Bill Belichick. So, I mean, we get told this is like example 188 of SEC. Hell yeah.
Is it biased if it's true?
No.
It just is what it is, man. And, you know, you don't have to look any further than just who wins more national championships than anybody else, who's in more games. Like, yes, every once in a while Clemson will win one, win two. They have their run, with whether it's with Trevor Lawrence or with whoever. They get a little bit of a run there. But in Ohio State, they'll get a run for a year or two. But year in and year out, it's either Alabama, it's going to be Georgia for a while. I wouldn't sleep on what LSU could potentially do as well.
Yeah, LSU had an amazing class.
In the Ivy League, they do crew better. In the SEC, we do football better. It's okay.
That's what we're made for around here. It's okay.
Let me give you three more teams that had one five-star piece in the SEC before we wrap it up. Ole Miss had one. Okay? That's lame. But two of the biggest stories on recruiting day, Chuck, I know you know this. Dylan, I know you know this. But two of the biggest stories, as far as programs are concerned on recruiting day, South Carolina, Harbor, top 15, that's right, and Tennessee, who was top 8, I believe it was. I'll have to go back and look at the final number. Doesn't matter, but I'll promise you that they were right around 8.
Those two teams, Tennessee and Alabama, those are going to be, South Carolina, I'm sorry. Tennessee and South Carolina, if those two continue what they're doing, we're going to start talking about the East being what we were talking about the West 5 years ago.
That's exactly right, and that's part of where I wanted to go to wrap it up, Dylan. You read my mind, because here's the scary thing, guys. With Texas and Oklahoma coming in, we know that the SEC is going to get better. But what if the SEC takes yet another step up, because LSU is going to be a national championship contender in 2 years. Write it down in ink pen. Tennessee trending up in a major, major way in recruiting. And they have over the last couple of years, not just because of what they did last year. And South Carolina is one of the hottest teams on the recruiting circuit right now. There's a difference between a captain and a leader.
I'm the captain. That is true.
This player.
Look at me.
According to Dylan Short, is
hey,
certainly.
Look at me.
Okay. I'm looking.
Look at me. I'm the captain.
I'm just waiting. I can see that Brian's still laughing because I can see his head bobbing.
It's okay. Chuck can be the captain. The point of this tease.
I'm the captain.
Is that there are captains.
Go ahead.
And then there are leaders. We'll talk about a leader.
No. I'm running point. Don't you dare send it to break.
Then send it.
Like send the Mooney cast all over again.
I was going to let you send it to break. That was just a joke. It's the Fan, 680, 93.7 FM. Check it, a Friday afternoon in Atlanta. Thanks for joining us as we wrap up the work week. 680, 93.7 FM. Chuck Oliver, Dylan Short, yours truly, Chris Moniam. Thanks for being with us. Matt on assignment.
He's got COVID. HIPAA.
If he's got COVID, we're not allowed to talk about it. So, I don't think. Are we still doing that? We're not allowed to talk about it? Are we still doing COVID? Nah, never mind.
It's over March 1st. Didn't you get the memo?
That was live, actually. That was not a drop, which is great.
It's, COVID is over March. The pandemic is over March 1st. We got a date.
I'm glad that we had to. Was there any official reason why March 1st is the day?
Well, I'm not making that up. I'm like, BJ, isn't it over March 1st? Everybody get ready. In 27 days, the pandemic's over.
I didn't hear this.
I think that's right.
Is that right, really?
I think there was an announcement. Y'all get ready. It's over in just a few weeks. It'll be over.
Does this come from the CDC or the White House?
I'm pretty sure this was the White
House. Has to be from one of them.
Sure.
Right.
Makes it political.
I did not know that. That's unbelievable. Well, maybe I should have stayed glued to the 680 of the Fan mobile app, which is driven by Beaver Toyota. Stay connected to all the latest news, your favorite fan shows on the Fan app. Again, driven by Beaver Direct.
The Beave.
Beaver Direct, the fastest and easiest way to shop online for your next vehicle. Visit BeaverToyotaOfCumming.com.
The president has announced that March 1st will end the COVID restrictions. Chuck was right.
Thank you. Pandemic's over. March 1st.
See what wow
and
really means.
We all wondered.
Wow.
Download the Fan app now on the iTunes and Google Play Store.
You know what they say, a recession, it's over for like a year and a half before you realize. No, we know in advance. March 1st.
It's when we can go COVID's buck wild done. Again.
Just like it's 2019.
Just in time for spring break.
Make out with random strangers. I wish I'd have known when it was coming. That would have been a lot easier. Don't keep that. Dylan Short going to tell us about one of the great leaders athletically in our state right now.
Yeah, and it's not a surprise when you look at college football in general. And this has always rang true. Ultimately, if you are a college player, and I would say, what would be a conservative number? 50% of college players are probably have a realistic shot of getting to the next level, if that, maybe even less than that. But probably something like 80% think they have a shot to get to the next level.
I would my guesstimate from people who do it, either coach or recruit or work in those industries, every single kid does think, I got a shot at doing something in college. I can play in college and then get to college and there's a lot of separation there. I mean, you can be at major programs and it's still like you got seven teammates who made the pros out of everybody.
Right. But pretty much anybody that gets there when they walk on campus,
they
thinks,
think
all right,
it.
I'm going to get
think
it before reality comes and swipes them in the head. So in that respect, we talk about great leaders. Ultimately, it's a pretty individual sport. This is one of the same things that rings true in high school, college, until you get to the pros. It is ultimately you control what you do. So be a good teammate, but also realize like, somebody else isn't going to get you to the pros. You got to get yourself there. That really came into effect even more with the introduction of NIL into college football, where it's, I'm going to get mine. We've been talking about Chuck. You've been talking about Jaden Rashada for the last couple of weeks now. And again, nothing to get mad about with Jaden Rashada there. They offered him some money. He said, yep, I will take that money. And then they pulled the money. But you're talking about a high school kid that who had not taken a snap was going to be worth $13 million allegedly by the Florida Collective. And if it wasn't 13, it was $9 million by Florida at one point, $8 million by Miami at one point. Now he's at Arizona State. My point is, players are getting their money, and that's a good thing. Players deserve to get paid. They put their body on the line. There are quite a few players that never even got to realize an NFL career because they didn't get paid for what they did in college. But when you're in a position like the University of Georgia and you're trying to do something that has not been done since the 30s, there's a reason. It's really, really hard for a team to be that together, that gelled, to do that twice in a row. Repeating is hard enough. To repeat a repeat is nearly impossible. The key difference here, every team has captains. Every team has a leader. But when you have a guy like Brock Bowers, who's going to tell the Georgia Collective, you know what? I'm going to go make my money next year. Why don't you take the money that you're going to give me, give it to the other guys on the team, and we'll be good, when the best players in the sport are also the best leaders on the team? That filters throughout the entire locker room. When we talk about reasons why the Dogs never seem to have a motivation issue on their way back to repeating as national championships, that's something that that got instilled through the very first guys, whether it was Roquan Smith, Andy Fitzpatrick, on down to N'Kobe Dean and Quay Walker, on down to filtering in through to Brock Bowers and all the other guys on defense. Now, that right there is the single reason why Georgia getting to a three-peat is not only believable, I think it's the most likely outcome for the 2023 season.
Will that change if Todd Monken leaves?
I don't think it will.
Because every season, I find myself talking the end of September into October of how quickly every offseason we brush past change in quarterback, change in play caller. And of course, they'll have both those presents. All right, here's what's going on, Brock Bowers. If you just want to know, don't feel sorry for Brock Bowers. First of all, he's from Napa, right? So he comes from a good address. All right, but beyond that, all right, because that's his family. That's not him. And even if it is him, that's not everybody on the team. Brock's a stud and should be compensated. This is the collective money. This is what the Georgia name, image, likeness collective. He could still have Philip Morris call up his agent and say, hey, we want, you know, to have Brock, you know, whoever, you know, endorse whomever. They can still do that if they want to. This is the collective where Brock is saying most collectives have a, all right, we've raised $6.1 million this year. Brock's saying, don't spend any of that on me.
Which
is what they do. They look at the current studs and say, hey, to keep the current studs, we better break him off for $500,000 or $100,000 or $50,000. Brock's like, I will get my private endorsement deals. The collective money that you have to kind of parcel out like a baseball scholarship, He's like, spend it all on my teammates.
And part of the reason that's important, Dylan, is because, look, when you're building a program like Georgia, Alabama, these great, deep rosters, right, you've got guys that are the caliber just behind them. Again, as we always talk about in the Saban era, right, you've got guys that would be starters at 90 other programs, and they're future stars. They just might not be starting right now or playing heavy minutes right now, heavy snaps right now. So that collective, that money can get funneled down to those guys, help keep them in the program. That way they'll stay and wait for their turn.
And just on the front of that for Bowers himself, how many 20, 21-year-olds are going to look $500,000 or whatever the amount is and say, yeah, you know what, I'm good, I don't need that, send it to these guys?
And you talk about what can happen to quality depth. They may have had four NFL tight ends on last year's roster, right, and now one of them's going to play for the Chargers, one of them's playing for Nebraska.
They're going to have another four this year.
And who knows about Oscar Delp? I mean, literally, you've got four guys that could be in the NFL, and you could have one of them return this year.
It's absolutely unbelievable.
There's nothing about Delp, by the way. I'm just saying it's a normal scenario in college football.
And to
today,
your point, which you were just saying, what happens to that calculus if Todd Monken ends up leaving, which signs are kind of pointing that it's probably leading that way. I think this team can still win like they did 2 years ago, mainly defensively. You look at what this team is going to put forth on the defensive side of the football next year. Last year might have been the year for the other teams to kind of snipe Georgia and get one out of it.
If you're going to get them, better do it this year.
Right, where the defense is down. They've had to retool the entire defense. Well, you didn't get them last year. Now you start looking at what the prospects are looking like for 2023 for the University of Georgia. It's a scary situation for a lot of college football.
Another scary situation. Double A got it right. The future's about to get really boring for this one particular team. It's Chuck and Chernoff live on The Fan, 680, 93.7 FM.
Hey, it's Finn, and if you've been listening to 680 for long, you know that I'm a big fan of Audi Atlanta. That's where I got my Audi Q8 e-tron, which I absolutely love. And it's the only dealership I would recommend to my friends and my family. And here's why. For one, Audi Atlanta has a great selection of luxury vehicles. They helped me find the exact SUV I was looking for, and the purchase was super easy. A fully transparent experience catered to me. The same experience they provide all their customers. And here's one more reason that makes Audi Atlanta so special. During the month of April, Audi Atlanta will make a donation to Enduring Hearts for every vehicle sold. Thanks to the efforts of Enduring Hearts, children with heart transplants are living longer and healthier lives. Get the Audi you've always wanted while supporting a great cause. To learn more about Enduring Hearts and to view our current specials, visit AudiAtlanta.com to start or complete your entire purchase online. Or shop Audi Atlanta in person, like I did, on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Together, we have the power to make positive changes that could last a lifetime.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.